Welcome back to the Veeam Communities Podcast. This is episode 127. I'm here today with Anthony Spiteri, my co-worker, my colleague from all the way down in Perth, Australia. So firstly, off the back of VeeamOn, let's touch base on your travel arrangements on the way back, Anthony. Do you want to just sum that up for the listeners?
Hello, Michael. How are you? Let's sum it up in one word, delayed. But if you want to sum it up in another word, engine on fire. Not that that's actually, you know, one word, but there you go. But no, we had a little bit of an incident and it's been played out quite a bit. But now I'd like to put it behind me and just kind of work through, because you got to keep on flying. But no, I had a bit of a delayed trip on the way back. A few incidents. Qantas handled it very well. It took about 56 hours to get back when it was supposed to take about 30. But, you know, we're back now. And actually, funnily enough, I'm not in Perth tonight. I'm in Melbourne. So I've already got back on the saddle, traveling, back doing the thing, right?
Back on the horse. Back on the horse, as they say. What we wanted to do was just have a bit of a recap, a debrief of what we did last week over in New Orleans for VeeamOn, right? So let's touch on what we jumped into on partner day. So that was our day one, our Tuesday. And I know you were pretty prevalent around that day in talking to our partners around some of the stuff that we announced. Do you want to touch on things like the CDP, the VCD stuff?
Yeah. So, the big thing around partner day from my perspective was the announcements around our DR as a service offering. So Veeam Cloud Connect Replication. And surprising to, I think, a lot of people, we actually announced the Veeam CDP, or Continuous Data Protection, on the Tuesday, when I think we were expecting that to be on the Wednesday, weren't we? So that was a bit of a surprise. But, you know, what we did announce in addition to that, and I guess we'll touch on the CDP from our day one a little bit later on, but the big thing from my perspective was, you know, the announcement about vCloud Director Integration for Veeam Cloud Connect Replication. So it's been a big one that our partners, our VCFP partners, have asked for. Big thing that I was asking for back in my old job before I joined Veeam. It's great to see that we're continuing to support vCloud Director, and it's going to really enhance our Cloud Connect Replication feature in backup and replication. So I'm real excited about that one. And then we also announced TAFE as a service for Veeam Cloud Connect Backup. And that's an interesting one, because it's really about, the meeting compliance standards, and also, this whole air gaps backups that people are talking about. It's really going to be able to facilitate that and add an additional layer of DR protection for those Cloud Connect backups. So that was the majority of what was announced on Partner Day. I think we also announced, what did we also announce, Michael? We also announced our professional services, which was interesting. I'm not sure if that got the airplay that I think it probably deserved, but I'm not sure if you know any more about that from the specifics, but from what I understand, we're doing some partner-based professional services where we will offer professional services, or PSO, to our partners for qualified engagements. Is that kind of what it is?
Yeah, I think most of it was around the VASP, so the Veeam Accredited Service Partner, so the ability to then go and find people that have been vetted by us, as in Veeam, and then be able to, they'll put their Veeam cap on and they'll be able to go out and deliver that professional service for you. I think that's the long and short of that.
So it's a bit of a change in direction from what we've done previously, but I think it's good. And I think, we're doing this, but we're doing this in the way that we have always done things, and that's through the channel, through our partners. Not directly competing against any of our customers or our partners. So I think that's a really good thing.
Yeah, I guess the emphasis on that day, so we had a complete day just for our partners, not letting any customers, prospects, or partner vendors in until the evening. And it was very much a focus on what we do around that channel ecosystem, about everything that we do has to go through channel. We have no direct touch. Everything we do is through that channel. So then also on that day one, as it were, so it was the Tuesday of VeeamOn, was also our Vanguard day. So given yourself, you were a Vanguard before you joined joined our team, right? What was the experience like on the other side of the fence for you?
Standing at the back of the room.
Yeah, exactly. Being part of the whole organisation.
I think, you know, the one thing that I noticed and have appreciation of is the effort that goes into making that day. You know, Rick and Kirsten and they work so hard to sort of make that happen for the, you know, 50. I think we had 50 vanguards that came out, which was amazing, given I think we've got 62 from memory, or 61. So that's like, what's that like in the 90s in terms of percentage for people, for actually our vanguards coming out? That just shows you how, you know, how well vetted, you know, the group is and how passionate they are about Veeam. But to see the guys there and seeing the comments on Twitter, the access they got to the big thing, you know, to Danny Allen, who's our new executive sponsor for the Vanguard program, that was really good. They had a good session with him. And then the thing that they really loved, I believe, was that access, what was it, Ask Me Anything, with our R&D team. So we had, you know, basically Anton Gustav there and all the product managers from R&D and VPs come in, and actually they got, you know, basically onslaughted with all these awesome questions, and the Vanguard's got all the questions back. Sometimes, you know, the guys couldn't say anything and interesting ideas, but yeah, from what I heard, they had a really good day. That really kicked off their whole experience in between all the partying and drinking that I obviously missed out on until Thursday, which was a bit of a bummer, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and we did that as well. We were very sensible in that we knew we had our obligations to one, do our technical breakouts, but also main stage. So it was very sensible from our whole team that was until Thursday night, right?
We were still sensible on Thursday night, but we did lay our proverbial hair down. I mean, you and I are probably not, you know, lacking a little bit there, but we still made sure we had a good night, right? But look, I think from that point of view, for me, it was interesting to be on the flip side, on the other side of an event like this, where typically I'd been an attendee, a delegate, to work on a sort of big event like this as the actual vendor. It's quite interesting and a bit of an eye-opener, but massively enjoyed it regardless. And I think, you know, the Vanguard's got a lot out of it, just to wrap that up.
Yeah, I think that exposure to that whole product management team is, as an SE prior to coming into this role, is I got to see them guys once a year, if that, right? So having that ability as an external voice that wants to speak and talk about Veeam, and they have they're massive, massive fans of us, but they can be brutally honest as well about our product, and they can tell us some gaps in that. And I know that you've been part of that as well, Anthony, and that you've given your feedback, right? So having that that honesty, but giving them the audience the chance to be the audience to those product management teams, the guys that dictate where our software goes, is key to us to move forward. So let's jump now down into our Wednesday, so our day two. So this was the first day of, well, so ending day one was the expo hall opened and the floodgates were opened in terms of letting everyone in. Our alliance partners were allowed to start speaking to our partners, our customers on the expo floor. Customers were allowed in as well as partners. So the floor was, and there was a few drinks and food there. So that was the first day covered. Just before the calm before the storm, if you like. So then we got into that day two, which is that first the big announcements, the V10, what's coming, and that was really where, so the majority of our team, Anthony was had to wait his turn until the Thursday. Well,
we had the media and analyst breakfast to kick things off, though, didn't we? Which was actually pretty cool. Like to see that. So I think that basically on the Wednesday morning, how many were in the room, do you reckon? About 100, 120 media analysts. And we also had the Vanguards in there, which, you know, they got a double bonus. They were allowed to go to this media event, got to get a really nice cooked breakfast. And the media guys got a first look at the announcements before it actually went on main stage. So that was really cool, actually, that breakfast, just to see that process. Peter McKay was up there. And then we had John Metzger and Paul Mattis basically go through the announcements that were coming before main stage. And then we did kick it off the main stage, and that's where my team was up there without me. Just got to sit on the sidelines and have a look at it all and see how it would pan out. But yeah, let's go back to Michael to sort of say how he felt in the background, you know, getting ready for that main stage, because let me tell you, everything that we did pretty much from the last 2 weeks up to that point was focused on main stage.
Yeah, absolutely that. So it was about taking the build that we had and being able to demonstrate in the best possible way what these new features are going to be. So we announced the agent for Windows and the management capabilities there that are coming in version 10. So everything will be available from a management point of view inside being backup and replication. That was Clint's demo. I've said that we're not going to mention Clint's demo, but you can catch that on the recordings, right? They're all available. Then it flipped over to Rick, who demoed the NAS support, so the NAS yeah. backup, the ability to back up both SMB and NFS shares into a backup repository. But the beauty of that, of the differentiator there, is that we're not using NDMP, which means that from a recovery point of view, we can recover anything back to another location where that's a limitation with NDMP. So, and there's plenty of content coming out around all of these. This is just a brief recap on these announcements. Then it flips over to the CDP side of things. And Anthony, do you want to touch on what that means and what that brings?
Yeah. So, you know, the Continuous Data Protection, or CDP, it's actually significant for us as a, you know, as a replication, you know, company, backup and replication company, because previously, you know, we were kind of limited with the VDDK libraries, with the snapshotting, to sort of, you know, at a sort of sweet spot of 15-minute RPOs with the snapshotting and whatnot. The CDP, which we plug into the AIO libraries that VMware released recently, basically means we can get, you know, seconds in terms of our RPOs, and that's important for where we're going, you know, as a company, but also important for what customers want, with the availability challenges of the next, you know, what has exist now, and also what they're going to be in the next few years, right? And the beauty of that is that we haven't changed the interface too much. But one thing that we have done is that, you know, the concept of jobs with the CDP, Continuous Data Protection, doesn't exist. We're now applying policies to VMs. I'm not sure if many people picked up on that, but certainly if you're in Anton Gustev's session on V10, he really pointed that out now, that there's no jobs, there's now policies. And that basically means that you attach this CDP policy to a particular VM, and that's what dictates the level of recoverability in terms of the SLAs. So it's quite a cool thing. Obviously, it's going to transcend into, like I mentioned, to our VM Cloud Connect replication, which is huge for us as well, because being able to offer, you know, seconds in terms of that RPO is quite significant for all of our service providers as well. So that's a significant feature without doubt.
So you mentioned there around the policies, and that kind of brings me on to what I demoed, or my first demo on Wednesday, was around object storage. So not only the ability to natively within Beam Backup and Replication to be able to go off to an Amazon S3 and Amazon Glacier or Microsoft Azure Blob Storage or any other on-premises S3 Swift compatible object storage, but also being able to go off to tape or to a disk type. So really anything. But what to bring that back around to the policy piece is that this will be an extension of the scale out backup repository. So an extension of that, meaning that the backup jobs that fall into, or the backup jobs that fall into that initial extent, so that 7, 14, 30 day retention that we tend to size for, that would be local, would then be dripped down into the object storage tier or the archive tier, as we've called it. So that's kind of another telling way in which we're moving is either a move policy or a copy policy to push that down. Again, there's quite a lot of information points out there to understand or see how that looks from an interface point of view. And then just on my final demo was around that storage, universal storage API. So the ability for us, rather than having to in-house develop that and work with storage developers, we actually release a set of API calls to our storage vendors or storage partners, and they can choose to take that and develop in-house, whether they want to integrate with us. The only caveat there is that once they have completed that integration point, it will come back to our QA for us to test against. And ultimately, that should speed up the process of how we get those integration points in with our storage partners across the ecosystem.
Yeah, that's quite a big one as well, I think, because as everyone knows, there's a multitude of storage vendors out there, and most of them, anyone worth their salt was coming knocking at our door saying, "When can we be next, please, sir? Can we have some more?" This basically then puts the onus back on them to do a little bit of work through the open API, and then to get validated through our Q&A, and then go from there. So I think it's going to be good for us, and we should start to see a lot more integration come through and a lot more storage vendors validate.
Yeah, and I guess so. The rest of the announcements there, so pretty big. That was, again, we had, I think there was like 10 announcements all on that Wednesday or over the 2-3 days, and so availability for AWS, the ability to, one, be able to integrate with N2W software to provide EC2 or EBS snapshots, and then bring them back to a Veeam backup repository. So that's, although it was just one part of that big announcement thread that we were on stage doing, that's kind of if you take a step back and just look at that, it's kind of a massive thing that we've brought to the table. Not to mention the things around data gravity, so availability with data gravity, so being able to have insight into those backup files as well as the production, and be able to trigger backups, be able to remove content out of those backup files, or trigger a backup if a threat was to be detected. And then then we've also got the log insight packs of the VMware, so the ability to aggregate all of the logs for your whole whole environment into one place. And we've developed a Veeam content pack for that will be free for those log insight users. And then finally, I think on the ecosystem front would be the Starwind BTL. So the ability to now offload into that Starwind BTL to then push off into Glacier. So that sees those. So as you can tell, there was a lot going on the Wednesday for us as well. Yeah. So that was the main stage. That was before 9 o'clock in the morning or before 10 o'clock in the morning. So then we still had to go and have our technical breakout sessions. I know that some of us did media stuff about speaking to press and analysts. So onto day three was the final day. Yeah, exactly. And by this time it was another early start with partner meetings, etc. And welcome to the fold and the main stage demo gods, Anthony Spiteri. So why don't you had a pretty big part to play in this day's demos up there. It was the longest demo for sure out of pretty much all of us. Let's give some credit to that Veeam powered network and what it actually is going to bring to the party.
It's like, yeah, cool. Thanks, Mark. So yeah, on Thursday, I had the pleasure of announcing a product, not announcing a product, Paul Madison announced a product, and I was able to demo Veeam Powered Network. So Veeam Powered Network is actually a free solution. It's free. I can't believe it's free. But, this is what we do at Veeam, having seen us over the years and now working for us. It's designed to simplify and automate the setup of a DR site using a lightweight software-defined networking stack, which is quite interesting. So it's all based on open VPN technology. We've written a cool interface, which actually means that you've got a way to easily configure site-to-site and point-to-site VPNs to extend your on-premises to a DR location, okay? And initially, we're focusing on Azure. So the main messaging is all about this disaster recovery in Microsoft Azure. And that couples together direct restore to Microsoft Azure with VPN. And that's basically what I demoed. So it was a pretty cool little short demo. It was basic. I was showing a workload that was on-premises. I shut down the VM. I'd previously then restored that using Direct Restore to Microsoft Azure into Azure. And then I deployed VeeamPN to effectively extend the network. So it was a pretty cool demo, and it worked, which was awesome. Always interesting relying on external web services for a live demo. So I definitely slaughtered the right demo god sacrifice for that. But look, it went really well, and I think there was a lot of buzz around it. Unfortunately, we didn't get out. There was a lot of interest main stage, and that was a really cool thing to be able to demo, and I really enjoyed that. So that was huge. And then we also announced a few more things. I think you actually had a demo that day as well, didn't you? I should know, you were standing next to me, right?
Yeah, so my demo was around a continuation of the day one demo around the archive tier. So the policy-driven engine around the archive tier and dropping down the backup files to the Microsoft Azure blob storage. So it wasn't announcing anything new, but it was ultimately just pinpointing that public cloud offering that we're bringing, that native object storage.
Yeah, which I think is huge, right, for customers, because I think they everyone knows that hyperscalers offering those services, the Swift S3, the blob storage for Microsoft Azure, they all there, and so the marketing engines of those hyperscalers mean that people are aware, and if they're aware, they're asking us to be able to offer some sort of service that they can leverage that, right? But that's not to say that you can't still go and use a service provider's S3 object storage or your own object storage on site. So, yeah, it's a big one. And I guess, you know, the point that we're getting at there is flexibility in that option. But certainly on Thursday, it was kind of Microsoft Azure Day. So we obviously featured the blob storage there.
So on top of that announcement, but with no demo, was the announcement of Management Pack V8. Update 4, so that brought the integration with OMS, so the Operations Management Suite, as well as Mike Ressler. He announced the version 1.5 of Office 365, so the ability for multi-tenancy and the ability to go to multi backup repositories. But he also gave us a sneak peek of V2 and how this whole process around backing up those SaaS applications and being able to back up the OneDrive for Business as well as the SharePoint. Obviously, we already have the mail today. So that was kind of the main stage part of that day. Yeah, so then that wrapped up the day three main stage demos. Then we obviously had our technical breakouts. You had your Beam Powered Network technical breakout. I think you were one before the end, right, Anthony?
I was one before the end, and weren't you one? You were at the end, weren't you, for your last one?
I was at the very end, so.
People were tapped out by that stage, weren't they? It's a typical sort of, you know, it's not the session that you want when you get a session at the end of any conference. You know, the second to last session, but we still trooped through it, and. Everyone was prepping themselves for the very famous VeeamON party. So, yeah, that was it was still a good session. I think you had a couple of people in there, and I had a couple of people, you know.
As well.
I think, go for it.
No, I was going to say that you were competing against Anton as well in a backup repository, which
no one wins. No one wins that, you know, so that's unfortunate. But, like, I think, you know, we had a good amount of diehards in there for that particular one. And I'm sure from the VeeamPN perspective, we're actually going to obviously go hard with some webinars. There's already some blog posts that have come out about it for myself, and even Luke and DeLock has given some interesting use cases on it. So, yeah, I think from that point of view, we're going to start to really pump out the VeeamPN and its usability. So, yeah, no problems there. But I think, you know, most people were just eager to get to the party and have some food, beautiful food, have some Cajun New Orleans food, and then drink some drink, whatever they could. What's the drink of New Orleans? The hurricane?
I think it's the hurricane. I don't know how many hurricanes I had.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know a little bit about the hurricanes, don't you?
Just a little bit, not too much. Yeah, so...
The party was awesome though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was brilliant. A typical Veeam party, like, just raised the roof. So, for me, the whole of VeeamON, obviously we spent tiresome days... in the lead up to VeeamON, getting everything ready for our demos, for our technical breakouts, etc. For me, the biggest relief was letting everyone know about these new, all of these new, this new stuff that's coming from Veeam. I think that was the biggest thing, is keeping your mouth shut for so long, like you said about VeamPN. We knew about that back well before Christmas. Me and you had just joined the team, and that was one of our first assignments. And I think, yeah, allowing that to come out or seeing that through to a product is a great feeling, but also getting it off your chest is also good.
And, yeah, I think the takeaway for me from the whole event was, again, seeing the passion that our customers and partners have for the software, for the technology, and they really support us and they go all in, right? So having an event where you've got your supporters there, you know, how many people did we have at the end? I think we nearly touched 3,000, didn't we, in terms of attendees and staff?
Yeah, yeah, it was very I think with staff it was 3,000 people, so we hit our numbers.
That's extremely impressive. I mean, obviously it's small when you look at other industry events, but in terms of what it is, it's an availability event for backup. When you think about that, that's quite significant, right? And I think that shows you how entrenched Veeam is in the IT community and also the technologies that we've produced over the last, you know, 10 years. You know, people are passionate about that. And it also is a credit to us and the developers and the product guys and the VPs and the execs to the brand they've created. I was quite thrilled to be part of it finally from the other side.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference for me, so that's the first show that I've been a massive part of. So every other show conference that I've been to, it's been, I've either been the partner or I've been on the vendor side. I think the difference is that we were literally always on, right? So when we got up in the morning for breakfast meetings, the main stage, all of them responsibilities that we had. And honestly, I would not change that one little bit. Absolutely love that interaction, that main stage buzz, being able to show everyone those new features. I think definitely this week afterwards has been a massive come down from that. But yeah, it was awesome. It was very different, but awesome.
We're even saying, right, like, what do we, I mean, not that we don't have stuff to do, but we're kind of saying, what do we do now? You know, what do we do now, you know? But we get back on it pretty quickly. We're all, as a team, meeting again in Warsaw in a week and a half, or a week actually now, as scary as that is, to basically go through some SE training with the guys. And, you know, part of that is going to be some deeper diving into the new technology, the new features that we announced. So it all kicks off again, and, you know, we can start to really ramp up, you know, the V10 and other announcements as it gets closer to, say, a beta, and then an RC, and then we go through the main GA again, and it all starts again, right? So it'll never end, and it goes really quickly, but, you know, it's a good process to be a part of, for sure.
Yeah, exactly that. I guess that closes us out there, guys. I mean, there's so much out there just based on this. If you hashtag VeeamON on Twitters, you're going to get to see
significant lot,
yeah, exactly that, and all of the content that that have been created. The Veeam.com site has that new fresh look with our new logo that was kind of drip fed before the event. There's so much content even now about these new features and functionality that's coming. So that's probably the place to check that out. Anthony, I'm sure nobody needs reminding of where they can find you on Twitter or your blog, but let's let them know.
Okay, so you can find me blogging at Virtualization is Life, which is anthonyspateri.net, and Twitter is at anthonyspateri. So hit me up there. And you, cool. Mike?
Yeah, so I'm at MichaelCade1, and I'm at vzilla.co.uk. So yeah, and I've tried this week to stay on top of that personal blog and get as much content out there as possible. But yeah, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time. Thanks.
See you later. Bye.